WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Louisa County High School gets a big check from the government to start a cybersecurity academy. When Virginia's minimum wage begins going up next year, farm workers get left out. And in a follow-up report, we explore what UVA researchers think political leaders need to do to heal America's political divide. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, December 29th. Louisa County High School will launch a virtual cybersecurity program in the next school year. The Daily Progress reports that Louisa is one of five school districts in the country receiving $100,000 to implement a cybersecurity academy. The other finalists are school systems in Kentucky, Texas, California, and Michigan. Those funds come from the U.S. Department of Education's Rural Tech Project, which aims to help schools start technology education programs customized for their students and local needs. Over the next 2 years, the U.S. Department of Education will work with the districts in the project to refine and improve their programs. And then the five finalists will compete for a $100,000 grand prize. Earlier this year, the General Assembly passed an increase to the minimum wage, but that increase does not extend to one group of low-wage workers, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
When Democrats took control of the General Assembly this year, they increased the minimum wage with one exception, farm workers. Kim Bobo at the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy says workers on big farms are covered by the federal minimum wage.
But if they're on a very small farm with revenues under $500,000, they do not have to be paid the minimum wage at all. So that means there are farm workers in Virginia who are earning $5, $6 an hour.
She says they deserve the minimum wage, but business groups disagree.
They deserve what they're capable of earning.
Ben Rowe at the Virginia Farm Bureau says farm workers should be paid by how many acres are harvested or how many bushels are produced, rather than by how much time they labor.
It just needs to be something that's fair for both the worker and the farmer. And having the ability to pay folks based on work done just makes much more sense for both of them.
Democrats in the House and Senate both initially agreed to get rid of the exemption during the debate over raising the minimum wage earlier this year. But then they changed their mind at the last minute. Now they'll be considering the issue again when the next General Assembly session begins in mid-January. Michael Pope.
Finally today, yesterday, we learned about a University of Virginia study that surveyed more than 2,200 Americans on their political attitudes. The divisions the researchers found were so sharp that they titled their report Democracy in Dark Times. But they have some ideas about how political leaders might begin to build consensus. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman has this follow-up report.
To understand what sociologists Carl DePort Bowman and James Davison Hunter suggest, you have to look at American culture. When they studied their survey results, there was one thing that stood out. The most common division between Democrats and Republicans, Bowman says, is education.
We found when we looked at a lot of the standard demographics and cultural factors that it was whether or not you have a college degree in combination with race and religiosity. People with not just a college degree but advanced levels of education, over 80% said they were going to vote for Joe Biden. If you take people without college degrees who are also evangelical or conservative in their religious point of view, it was nearly 90% who said they were going to vote for Donald Trump. It's that black and white.
There was a time, Hunter adds, when the nation's elite were Republicans.
One of the big changes that's taken place over the last couple of decades is that the top 10 to 20% of the population in terms of education and income, high prestige jobs, and overwhelmingly the wealthiest Americans are Democratic. They're not Republican.
The change began after World War II, when the GI Bill paid for veterans to attend college.
The expansion of higher education was not just about equipping more and more Americans with the skills to operate within complex information economies. It was about the cultivation of new cultural sensibilities, a new worldview.
Another important change involves the proliferation of media outlets. While baby boomers grew up watching one of four TV networks and reading a newspaper, Today's viewers can choose from hundreds of cable channels and streaming services, not to mention social media platforms.
The ideal of an educated public that's capable of sorting through these complex, divergent messages and Americans coming to their own conclusions, the idea that most Americans are prepared to do that hard work is a myth. What people do is they find the kind of information that aligns with their own prejudices, and they stay there.
Hunter says there's a deep distrust of mainstream media, and we don't have much faith in corporations. So what can this country do about the lack of social unity? Hunter suggests more funding for education and a new celebration of public service.
What we're talking about are problems that are deeper than politics itself. There's no party that can address this by itself. Public schooling, private education, they've largely abandoned civics education. They don't even talk about this stuff anymore. So it seems to me we're failing as a society. There are fixes, but it requires people in all spheres working honestly and diligently to rebuild civil society. I think institutions and their leadership need to start demonstrating not only the spirit and the rhetoric, but also the actions of genuine public service.
In a word, he adds, our leaders must show more courage, standing for things that may not be in their personal interest. I'm Sandy Houseman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Tuesday.